All right, we're Matthew 6:19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Lord God, I need you. I pray you help me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Please, God, I absolutely need you. I don't want to be up here without you guiding and leading me, Lord. Help me. Speak to our hearts through your word, Lord God, as we continue to look at this thought of we are going to choose a master. We will choose one. And God, I pray for everybody in here that it would be you. And that we wouldn't choose self. God, help us now through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you will choose a master. This is mostly speaking of money. It mentions in that last verse, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. It talks about us laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven or treasures on earth. We have those two options. Where are we going to put the treasures? Where will we lay up treasures? If we put them here, they can be stolen. They can be taken. We get our focus way off because we're fleshly, because we're earthy, we're from this earth. So we get our priorities way off and we focus on the things here, the things that we can see. I mean, I can look at youth. When you look at youth, it just amazes me. You know, it's fleeting. Youth is fleeting. I can look at pictures when I was 10 years ago. And think, man, I looked young. I don't think I look old now. I don't think. Maybe some of you would disagree. I don't think I look old now. But when I look at pictures from me 10 years ago when I was 25, I'm like, man, I look young. And it goes. But we spend so much time focusing on that. I mean, people spend thousands of dollars to keep things tight, to keep them up, to keep them in. I mean, everything. We spend thousands of dollars for all of that stuff. I know people that laugh like this, so they don't wrinkle their face up. I mean, they do stuff like that because we focus on the temporary. But this body, it's going to get older. It will. It's not going to last. So we can, you know, the Bible says, bodily exercise profiteth little. So there's some good to it, but it's little. So it's not that we should be like sluggards and gluttons and things like that. We should take care of ourselves, but is that the main thing? No, not really. And we could go off on that and the focus that our society gives to that, that really all society's always given throughout all time, is on the outward appearance. But that's not what God says is important though. See, because God's looking at not the earthly, but the heavenly, laying up treasures in heaven. And that's where our focus needs to be. So really one of the things as a Christian, as we get into this and the Sermon on the Mount, I think it's really a course in discipleship that the Lord gives here. But what we need to look at is, what does God see as important? What's the focus He wants us to have? Where does He want our thoughts to be? We have to really start to reprogram ourselves. Reprogram our thinking, because most of us, all our lives, even if you've grown up within Christianity, for the most part, most of us, it's still all focused on self. It's all about me and what can I get? And, you know, the trend within churches has been to just, you know, we want a seeker friendly. What do you guys want? And we're going to give you what you want. That's not God. That's not the Bible. That's not what Jesus talks about. That's not discipleship. That's not what it means to be a disciple. I mean, I can't hit on that thing enough, that it means deny yourself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up your cross daily and follow me. I follow Jesus. Okay, when do you deny yourself? I don't. So you don't follow him. Because he said the first step, if any man will deny himself, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's where it's going to start. So as we look at where treasures are important, we have to decide, is it what's here on earth? Do I really need that new thing? Whatever it is, I don't care. Name it, the thing that you like, the thing that you want, that you're going after. New pair of tennis shoes, I don't know what it is. Sunglasses, car, phone, doesn't matter. Jewelry, purse, clothes, whatever, it doesn't matter. Do you need it? Bible, do I need that 50th Bible? Probably not. I know some guys, I mean, they just are addicted to buying Bibles. I'm like, how about you just read the one you got? Can we start with that? Amen. I'm not against having more than one Bible, but I mean, what is it? It'll burn. This will burn. I understand it's in heaven. But is all our investment focused on stuff that's here that's not that important versus eternal? Look here. I mean, we got this nice TV up. We got it up Saturday. Man, it looks good, doesn't it? It's just a tool. That's it. If we didn't have it, praise God, we'd keep going. We're all right without it. We did good without it for years. Praise the Lord, I'm thankful we have it though. But if we don't have it, if it fell off the wall right now and crashed, I'd be like, that's a bummer. And I'd keep preaching. We can't get so focused on this stuff. What's really important? What's eternal? We looked at that last week. We focused a lot on that last week. But look, here's the thing as we get into this. The Lord gives us the decision. We get to decide if we're going to be distracted by the temporal things that bring fleeting happiness. We get to make that decision if we're going to be distracted by temporal things that bring fleeting happiness. It's just they take wings and they fly off. They'll be gone. We get to decide. You get to choose. Are you going to run after, you know, the trash? Really, that's what it is. And look at all the stuff that Hollywood says is important. I mean, it's garbage. I'm glad I don't know who these idiots are anymore. You know, I am. I know somewhat about them because I have to do research into some of these things. So some of them I know about. But I was filling up after Bible Institute. Last night at the gas station down there at Gun Club right there, they redid the Circle K. And they always put, you know, when you start filling up, they start putting things. And it's like, what's going on this week? And it lists these like four people. And I'm like, I don't even know who they are. Praise God. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Not important. You know, because people know all this useless stuff about these ungodly people, but they don't know anything about their Bible. Christians, I'm not talking about professing Christians. I'm not talking about lost people. I expect lost people to do that. But why do so many professing Christians know so much more about the things of the world and nothing about the Bible? How come they can't quote a verse of Scripture? But they could tell me everything that's going on with, you know, whoever's in the media now. I don't know who it is anymore. I'd say stuff, it'd be like 10 years ago. I don't know. But why is it like that? That's a shame right there. Are we really disciples of Christ? Where are our priorities? Are they focused on eternal? Because we get to decide. We get to make that decision. Look at verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The light of the body is the eye. And it talks about our eye being single. Thy whole body shall be full of light. Our eye needs to be single. Or we could put it like this. Our eye needs to be focused. If we can focus our sights on the single thing that God desires for us, then our path will be well lit before us. That's what he says. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You're going to be full of light, but you're going to know the path to go on if your eye is single, if it's focused on what God wants for you, if it's focused on the eternal and not the temporal. That's what we need. We need to be focused on what's eternal. I like this. John Phillips said this. He said, astigmatism is a problem with the lens of the eye that causes rays of light to fail to converge in one point. It results in blurred vision. I have an astigmatism in both eyes. So if I take my glasses off, I can see you guys all, but you're all blurry. I can't make anything out. That's what happens with an astigmatism. He goes on to say, it is possible not to have things clearly in focus in our spiritual vision. Why? Because the eye's not single. Focused on everything else. And our vision's blurred. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we don't know what God wants us to do. Because we're got blurred vision. Our spiritual eyesight has astigmatism. It's all blurry and we can't really see good. I'm telling you, it'd be dangerous for me to go out there and drive without my glasses. I could do it, but watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. If I had to, I could do it. I could probably get home, but depth perception's gone. I'd be like, I got plenty of boom! Oh man, I just slammed into that guy. I guess I didn't have as much room as I thought. It'd be bad. See, the danger's right there. We need to have clear vision. So our eye needs to be single. It needs to be focused. So have you asked yourself what God wants you to do? Stop deciding this is what I want. I'm going to do this. Stop pretend praying about it too. So many Christians pretend pray about stuff. Oh, I'll pray about, I prayed about it. Yeah, I prayed about it. God wants me to leave my wife, my husband. People say that stuff. What? You sure you prayed about that? God told you that, huh? I don't think so. I don't think so. I prayed about it. God wants me to get drunk. You sure? I don't think so. But a lot of Christians pretend pray about things. I'll pray about that. And they're not sincere. They're not truly seeking the Lord and what the Lord desires for them. See, that's what we need to do. We've got to get serious about, God, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do if I be single? Focused and intent on God's will for our lives and not our own will. See, because we can get away from God and we can get our heart set on something. We'd be like, oh, I just gotta have this. Have you seen one of these? I mean, look at this. I gotta have it. This is amazing. Who doesn't want one of these? Pretend it's made out of gold, silver. Who doesn't want this? I gotta have it. This is the new latest and greatest it. I gotta have it. I just need this. And God's standing over here. He's saying, well, go ahead. But I got something for you better down here. But go ahead. And our vision gets blurred. And we're not looking at the Lord. And we decide to do our own thing, which leads to a path of destruction. I'm telling you, you don't have to learn everything the hard way. Christian, you don't have to learn everything the hard way. Learn from somebody else's mistakes. Amen. There's a lot of examples in the Bible of people that have done foolish things. Learn from them. Can I tell you, read the book of Proverbs every day. Every day. There's something in there that'll straighten you out. Every day you'll need something. You got foot and mouth disease like I do? Almost every day it tells me something about that. Just pull that foot out of your mouth. Don't say it. And I'm telling you, I got foot and mouth disease. You guys have heard me say stuff. I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said that. Oh, well, it's already out. You know, you can't bring it back once it left. But just read the book of Proverbs every day. And then do what Proverbs says, you know, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Protect your heart. Guide your heart. Don't let your heart go astray somewhere that a principle in the Word of God has said, don't do that. Then you pull your heart back from that and you say, no, we're not going over there. Pull the reins back. Bible even talks about our heart, the reins. It's discussing our heart. Pull the reins back on that thing. Whoa, not over there. We're going this way. Direct your heart, guide your heart, keep your heart, guard your heart. Guard it. Don't let it go somewhere it shouldn't go. Because are you willing to follow the Lord? Are you honestly, sincerely willing to follow what the Lord says? The Lord's will. When He tells you that thing you've set your heart on, He says, no, you can't have it. That's where you know if you're submitted to Him or not. That's where you know. When you have set your heart on it, He says, nope. You're not going there. You can disobey and still do it. Ladies, I'll tell you right now, that's how you know you're submitted. How you can know you're submitted to the Lord is when your husband tells you you can't do something that you wanted to do. And you obey him. That's how you know you're submitted to the Lord. Because you submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Amen for you. You know you're submitted to the Lord When you've gotten in a fight, it is your wife's fault and you go apologize. You go the one seeking her, getting things right. When your pride says, no, I'm right. To love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you put yourself first when you don't want to. So are we really willing to do the Lord's will? Is our eye single? The glories we can see when our vision is focused properly. Luke 2:30. I like this. It says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let's go ahead and look at that. I forgot the man's name who it was. Luke chapter 2 verse 30. It's when the Lord's born. They bring him into the temple. What did I say? Luke 2:30. There we go. Simeon. He was waiting for the Lord. Verse 25 says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Amen. How important it is to be yielded to the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Look, when our eye is single and focused on what God wants for us, the glories that we'll get to see. He got to see the baby child Jesus. Could you imagine getting to see that? God's salvation, the Messiah, the one they'd been waiting for. He was able to see that. Why? Because his eye was single and focused on the eternal and not the temporal. If he'd have been focused on the temporal, he'd have been like everybody else there. That was just walking past the Lord. Whoo, think about that right there. Didn't have a care for it in the world, but the Spirit guided him. He was yielded to the Spirit of God because his eye was single. Paul said this, is what the message he was to go out, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The amazing thing, we can still see his salvation today. We can have our eyes opened and be turned from darkness to light. That's what God wants for us. But if, on the other hand, we set our hearts on the things money can buy, the things that will burn up, we will never be satisfied and we will always be chasing the next temporal pleasure. I promise you, if you feed your flesh, you will never be satisfied. Never. I ate yesterday, but guess what? I was hungry today. You feed your flesh. I'm just going to give into it so this temptation will stop. It doesn't work like that. It gets stronger. You're just feeding the beast. You're just giving more to that beast. I don't know. Never mind. I'm not even going to. When we are distracted from what's truly important, it can cause disaster. I want to read you something here. If we're distracted from the main thing, what we should be focusing on, it can absolutely bring disaster in the spiritual and in the physical world we live in. This is the top 10 worst texting while driving accidents. Texting while driving is more dangerous than going 55 miles per hour with a blindfold on. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration indicates that once the driver takes his or her eyes off the road, an accident can occur in 4.6 seconds. As reported by the Harvard Center of Risk Analysis, this practice has caused more than 3,000 tragedies and 330,000 accidental injuries each year. Here are the 10 worst texting while driving car accidents. All right. Number 10. See you soon. Says there in quotes, this is what 22-year-old Alexander Height, a Colorado college student, texted while in heavy traffic in response to a text message he received. The vehicle drifted into the oncoming vehicles and he lost control of the car. There's a picture of it there. All right, number 9, 21-year-old Texas college student Chance Both ended up in the hospital while texting and driving. He had to spend 6 months in the hospital to recover from his injuries. Number 8, a crash into a lake. Texting and driving caused an unidentified Maryland woman to crash into a lake. By the time emergency vehicles came onto the scene, she was already rescued from the vehicle. There's her car. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know, not focusing on the main thing but getting distracted, not having that single vision, but having an evil eye. Number 7, ran through a red light. A teenager in Anchorage, Alaska, ran through a red light while texting and driving. This caused him to kill a 27-year-old woman and mother of two. Number 6, crossed over the highway into approaching traffic. While texting and driving, the life of Ashley Zabrunin was altered in a split second. She became partly paralyzed from an automobile accident while she was texting. Her vehicle crossed over the highway into approaching traffic. Number 5, this lady's charged with murder. While texting and driving, 45-year-old Belinda Hudspeth killed a Belmont woman. The vehicle veered off the road and hit a trash can close to where the Belmont woman is walking to her neighbor's house. Charged with murder. Killed somebody. But I was just sending that quick text. Not focused on the main thing. See, when we don't focus on the main thing, how dangerous it is. The disaster that can come about. Collided into the back of a school bus. Number 3. On the first day of school, 17-year-old Delanera Logan collided into the back of a school bus while texting and driving. He succumbed to his injuries later on. Now his parents are warning teenagers not to text and drive. A Massachusetts teen guilty in fatal texting while driving. Haverhill, Massachusetts. Says a Massachusetts teenager was sentenced Wednesday to spend a year in jail for a fatal traffic accident that happened while he was texting. Aaron DeVoe of Haverhill was sentenced to 2.5 years behind bars with a year to serve and the remainder suspended for the February 2011 crash that took the life of Donald Bowley Jr., 55, of Danville, New Hampshire, and seriously injured Bowley's girlfriend. Prosecutors say the then 17-year-old high school student sent 193 text messages the day of the crash, including some just a minute or so before impact and dozens more after it. Prison after fatal accident. 18-year-old Aaron DeVoe, we just read about him, was charged for a fatal car accident. 2.5 years. All right, this one. Number 1, charged with second-degree voluntary manslaughter. In Kansas City, a 16-year-old student caused a tragic traffic accident that killed a woman 72 years old. This was the first texting and driving accident in the area. Rachel Gannon was charged with second-degree voluntary manslaughter. She will be treated as an adult in the case. Why did all this happen? These lives lost. Because they had an evil eye. So they didn't go out with that intention, but their eye wasn't focused. And the disaster that came about because their eye wasn't focused, that's in a temporal, physical way. Now think about the spiritual implications when we won't focus on what God wants. I mean, some of you in here right now may be plotting a path that is not what God wants for you. I'm going to do my own thing. And I'm going to try and pretend like it's what God wants. That's what a lot of young people will do. A lot of old people even. I'm going to just pretend like this is what God wants. I don't know how many people leave a good church because they're going to move for a job. Did God tell you to move? Then forget that sorry job. See, if that's what you're doing, I'm telling you right now, you're focused on the temporal and not the eternal. They'll move without even finding if there's a good church in the area. I'm not taking my family somewhere where there's not a good church to go to. I won't do that. Unless I'm planning on starting one. But other than that, I'm not going. I don't care how much money they offer me. That needs to be our attitude. But I know so many people who've left for a job. Won't listen to sound biblical advice. You know, I'll help people as they come to me. I don't mean it in any way like that. But look, if you'll listen to some of this stuff, if you'll get a single eye and start focusing on what God says is important, you'll save yourself from so much trouble. You won't have to come in for marriage counseling. I'm telling you. You won't have to come in repentance, you know, because you got a girl pregnant or because you're pregnant out of wedlock. Come on. If you'll just listen to what this says. You can save yourself some heartache. If you'll just follow this book. If you'll get a single eye. We think, that won't happen to me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You're not better than what God says. You don't know more than God. God's always right. Let God be true, but every man a liar. You can lie to yourself. You know that? You can lie to yourself. You ever done that? You ever lied to yourself? And you know it, but you want to make yourself feel better? So you're lying to yourself? Yeah. You've gone and done something you know you shouldn't have done. You're like, I won't get caught. I won't get caught. The whole time you're like, I'm going to get caught. You know it inside. You're like, I know I'm going to get caught. But outside you're like, we're not going to get caught. You know, but you always try and bring a friend along. Hey man, I don't want to get caught alone. Come on, let's go. Right? Yeah, that's how we like to sin. We don't like to do it alone. Let's get that single vision. Single eye. The ultimate disaster is based on what our eyes see. Do you know that? What our eyes see. Get this, Matthew 18:9. Jesus said this, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. Why? It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." See, because what our eyes, if they get us off focus, it's hellfire. But if our eye gets single, we can come to salvation. Like Paul said in Acts 26:8, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. And then we can go on the path that God wants us to go down. But our eyes can get us into the most trouble. That's what got Eve in trouble. She saw that the tree was good for fruit. She saw it. It looked good. That looks good. There's a lot of stuff that looks good. It'll get you in trouble. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. And can we get into Proverbs 7? Look at that wicked woman there, the strange woman of Proverbs 7. I guarantee she looked good. I guarantee she looked good. And that dumb boy was just like, just following her wherever she called him. Because he was somewhere he never should have been. But we could say the same thing. There's some guy that looks good. And the girls are like, he said he loved me. Because that's how it works. That's how the girls are. He really cares about me. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. I think I'm going to park right here. He doesn't. How do you know, preacher? Because I was that guy. And I know a lot of guys like that. Every guy, a friend I had in high school was like that. Every man I worked with was like that. Not all of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Well, aren't there any good ones? There are. You better make sure they're following the Lord. I say the same thing, you guys, you single guys looking for a girl. You better make sure she's following the Lord. Amen. You better make sure she's following the Lord. She loves God. Praying for Andrew. He's saying, I want a godly woman. Amen. I want a godly girl. That should be all. That's a single eye right there. Boom, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. Be careful. A guy will tell you anything to get what he wants. Anything. All you young girls in here, listen up. He'll turn you against your parents. If he's doing that, you know you've got a devil. Stay away from him. I'm telling you right now, stay away from him. If he'll turn you against your parents, he's no good for you. You men that are looking for a girl, if she won't obey her father, she will not obey you. Amen. Drop her like a bad habit. I'm telling you right now, if she won't obey her father, she will not obey you. Right. You're going to have a nightmare on your hands. You're going to get a girl that's in rebellion to her father, won't listen to her dad, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, you can't go there. You can't go out of the house dressed like that. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You're not my daddy. She goes walking out of the house like that. Yeah. She ain't going to listen to you. Come on now. Just be careful.
Amen.
Keep thy heart. Keep you all awake. Keep thy heart. You've got to guide your heart. You've got to guard it. Don't let it get attached to someone that's not what God says is good.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen. You say, well, I don't know what's good. Well, I'll teach you. Ask me. Ask your parents. Ask your parents first. And if your parents need help, come ask me, parents. I'll guide you. Talk to your parents. Talk to me. I'll help you. I want you to know. What are the principles I should look for? First off, they've got to be saved. If they're not saved, don't even entertain it.
Amen.
Just keep it a casual friendship. Don't get close. I'm telling you, you're looking for a spouse. This is what you look for. You single people, listen up to this, please. If they're not saved, don't entertain a relationship with them. You're telling your heart to get attached. You're letting your heart get attached. And then when God says, nah, you're going to say, He said, you want this or temporal? And you're going, no lightning bolt. Come on. That's what happens. That's what it is. We got to watch it. Guard yourself. Protect your heart. Don't let it get attached somewhere it shouldn't. I'm telling you, that can apply to things too. I mean, look, I mention this a lot because this is the society we live in. We got to deal with this thing. And don't let your heart get attached to this garbage. It doesn't even have to be evil and sinful. Don't let it get attached to Facebook. There's garbage on that, but there's also can be used for good. But don't let it get attached to that where, you know, you're always just, you know, you're eating dinner with your family. You got to text somebody to get a hold of them. But don't let it be like that. Watch, guard your heart. I mean, challenge yourself. You say, I'm not addicted to my phone. Okay, then put your phone away for a 24-hour period. See if you can do it. If you get somewhere, if you're not like, you'll be like, oh man, all right. I don't need it. You know, I mean, if you can't, you got a problem. Guard your heart. Protect it. Why? So your eye can be single. So you can be focused on what the Lord wants. So when God says, hey, this is the direction. Okay, thank you, Lord. I've been waiting. I've been praying, asking you what you want me to do. Praise God. Let's go. You'll be ready to go when God says. You'll be ready to take that step when God says. And your heart's not going to be pulled in five different directions. And you've got an evil eye. You've got blurred vision. You've got spiritual astigmatisms and you can't see good. And you crash. Because you're not better than everybody else that's fallen before you. A man after God's own heart got all messed up on that stuff. He was a man after God's own heart. He had a single eye. King David. He was following after the Lord. God rejected King Saul. He said, no, I'm going after a man that's after mine own heart. I know who's going to be the next king. And that man who was after God's own heart, King David, later on, he let his eye get away from him. See, his eye got him in trouble. His eye is the reason that his child was dead. His eye is the reason that the sword never left his home. Because his eye was evil. Oh man, I saw that beautiful girl Bathsheba bathing on her housetop. And he asked, he said, who's that? Oh, that's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. David knew him and knew him well. He said, get her for me. You don't tell the king, no. Unless you want to be about 12 inches shorter. You don't tell the king, no. So they got her. But through all that, God saw. It wasn't until like a year later that it all came out. David's like, I got away with it. My plan worked. Knocked off Uriah. He's dead. She's my wife now. Free sailing. Uh-oh. Man, every single time a preacher's got to ruin my fun. When a preacher showed up. David, thou art the man. God knew the whole time. David got away with nothing. Think you're getting away with it? No, God knows. God knows. Is your eye single? Or is your eye evil? When we focus on money, we focus on what doesn't matter and leave those we are to protect to the wolves. Zechariah 11:17 says, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. There it is. His right eye utterly darkened. He doesn't have good sight. He left the flock. His job is to protect the flock and he left the flock. We'll leave those we're to protect if we don't have that single vision. How much are our families and children neglected because we're chasing the almighty dollar? Ask yourself. So, no, not me. You sure? I mean, just check yourself. If your eye's single on God or if it's evil. Our vision's darkened and we don't even realize it. You may be serving money and don't know it. Or don't even care that you neglect the God that died for you. He died for you. Jesus paid it all. He left the riches of heaven because his eye was single to give you an eternal home, to come here temporarily. He suffered, bled and died for you. While he was here, he was homeless. For 3.5 years of his ministry, he was homeless. He said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You want to come after me? That's great. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Sign me up, I'll follow you. Man, and some of us can't even come to church faithfully. Not really anyone in here, most everyone in here does. But I'm telling you, look, I follow Jesus. You sure? Would you be one of his disciples that went everywhere with him? I mean, they quit their job, you understand that? When he said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, and they laid down their nets, you understand what they were doing? They quit their job. They quit their livelihood. When he went and called Matthew at the receipt of custom, and he said, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew quit his job. A powerful job where he could, if he was a thief, make a lot of money. He left it to follow the Lord and go about where they're like, well, are we eating today, Lord? Where are we sleeping tonight? We're going to be disciples. We're going to follow Jesus. And let's get a single eye. Let's get focused on what really matters. Let's get focused on the eternal and not the temporal. We all need the temporal. We need it. We need shelter from the elements. We need clothing to stay warm and covered. Amen. We need food to eat, but we don't need, is it bad you have one? No. But don't say, I need my phone, I have to have my phone. No, you don't. No, you don't. 20 years ago, I lived without it. 15 years ago, I lived without it. I think I got a phone when I was about 20. But I lived without it, and even then I didn't use it a lot because I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. After 9, you can make that phone call. I'm gonna run out of minutes here. Better get off of that thing. Some of you remember that. It was unlimited, huh? Like, whoa, 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 I'm almost out of minutes. Get off. Make that call under a minute. You remember that. What are we focused on? But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is it? Is your eye single or is it evil? Only you know the answer to that. Only you. Be honest before God. And if it's evil, ask Him to help you get it single. And cut the attachment to what's pulling you away. It's called repentance. Turn from it. And turn to God and say, God, show me. I want to know what you want me to do, Lord, show me. But if you leave the attachment, you won't do it. You're going to stay coming back and coming back and coming back. Let's pray. Father,